Jesus, you be glorified in all things. For we do praise you. We sing your praises. We exalt you with our words. We lift you up and say thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. We don't take for granted the love that you've poured out and demonstrated to us. So hear our hearts as we just say thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We love you. We honor you. And now we look forward to hearing your word as you share and you reveal yourself to us. You be glorified in this time and in each one of us. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Well, in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at learning how to pray as being taught by Jesus himself, from his word, from what he taught, from his spoken word about how to pray. And we just started looking last week at the actual Lord's Prayer. So last week we looked at that first verse of the Lord's Prayer. And from the first verse of the Lord's Prayer, we learned the importance of relationship with God in our time of prayer. That time of communion with God. We looked at that Father in heaven, which was that contrast between the closeness and the distance. You've got that closeness. Father. Father's a relationship that we understand. It's a relationship that's personal. It's close. But it's also in heaven, which is distant, far away. But Jesus is the one who bridges the gap of that distance. And then we looked at Jesus as he taught us to pray, hallowed be your name. And we saw that hallowed means praise. Praise is such a foundational part of our prayer. I mean, praise should always be, the motivation in our prayer should always be praise, a heart of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness. Now, I also said last week, I asked the question because it came to me as I was standing here. Is it pronounced hallowed or hallowed? Now, we did look, we saw that, I said Phil Driscoll, because Phil Driscoll, when he sings that song, says, hallowed be your name. And also, was it David Phelps? Michael, I should have remembered Michael W. Smith. They all sing it, hallowed be your name. Now, I actually looked it up to see what was the correct pronunciation. How many of you guys think it's hallowed? How many of you think it's hallowed? What'd you say? Well, that's how many of you could care less and wonder why I'm wasting time about this? All right, Dana, it's a couple, okay. It actually is both, yeah. Yeah, it is both. It could go either way. So Michael W. Smith is right, and I was right also, just so you know. So we were looking last week at hallowed. And hallowed is a good place. And all that we learned last week, we really wound up by finishing with this thought. The thought was that we need to be fearless in our prayers. We need to be bold and confident in our prayers, just as Jesus was when he was here on this earth. We need to have that kind of boldness and confidence. And that's what we're going to look at today. That leads into where we're going today, which is the second verse. It's almost as though God had a plan in this. We put this all together. One verse leads into the next. So we see that fearlessness and that power, and he does lead us into that next verse. I want to read both verse 9 and 10 so we can get a running start into it. So here's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, of course, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now the verse we look at this week. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I absolutely love what Jesus teaches us. I love what he teaches us in this verse. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A good place for us to start is by looking at some definitions. I want to focus on two words, because to me, the two key words are kingdom and will. So I'm going to look at those two words, kingdom and will. I'm going to give you my definition of those words, because my definition is kind of like a condensing, a summation of like Vines, Strong's, and some others. So I'm going to give you those, because if you're saying, well, Todd, why give me your definition? Why not just give me the definition right from all the experts of the Greek? Well, I'll tell you why. This is a study guide. It says, for a deeper understanding of the word, oh my gosh, it is much, much deeper. So if I gave you their definition instead of my summation, the word in the Greek is thelema, for will. That's what will means. So thelema, it's word 2307 in Strong's, if you're curious. Okay, so it starts right here. The definition goes all the way down here and all the way through that column. So would you like that? Okay, wait a second. It continues on this page. It's all of this page. And all of this page as well. This is still the definition for the word will. That's an awful lot, right? We're not done yet. It's all of this page. And all of this page as well. This is all the definition for the word will. And then we come to this page. It's all of this page up to here. This is where we start. So, I think so. Well, see, I was going to ask, because Alice and Dennis, you guys are leaving for Indiana. So I don't know what kind of time frame you have. I can either read this or you can settle for my definition, my summation of the definitions. Donna's going for my definitions. All right, so here's my summation of those two definitions, because I think those words are so important for us to understand, kingdom and will. The definition of kingdom is this: royal dominion, the king's realm, the spiritual realm, the divine spiritual kingdom belonging to the king. I love this. Where reside the privileges and rewards of the divine kingdom, both here and in the hereafter? Where the king is, referring to both the heart and to heaven. Let me read that to you again, because even that's my summation, even that's a lot. Royal dominion, the king's realm, the spiritual realm, the divine spiritual kingdom belonging to the king, where reside the privileges, listen to this part, where reside the privileges and the rewards of the divine kingdom here and in the hereafter. Amen. Where the king is, referring to both heaven and heart. So that's kingdom. Now here's will. Will is the good, perfect, acceptable desire and the gracious design and plan of God for everything and in everything, spoken of in a sense of finality as from one who has the power to execute it. See, God has a will, man has a will. God has the power to execute his will, and if God determines his will come to pass. For man, man has a will. Man doesn't always have the power to execute his will, and man doesn't always do a good job of actually applying himself to accomplish that will. So it's that good, perfect, acceptable desire, the gracious design and plan of God for everything in everything, spoken of in a sense of finality as from the one who has the power to execute it, his will, that which is clearly expressed to us through his word. So those are two definitions. Now, again, they're not perfect definitions, but they're acceptable for our purposes today. Because it's not so much that we get the details of the understanding, because the reality is, especially with words like kingdom, the reality is you're talking about something that is infinite. The understanding of the kingdom is something that is infinite, and we have finite minds, and we're trying to use finite words to define those things. So don't get caught up. What I want us to understand is the principle, the understanding of the kingdom of God and God's will. All on the same page? Okay, so Jesus teaches us, and he says, he's teaching us to pray. This is what we're supposed to pray. Your kingdom come. How do we do that? Well, again, perhaps a way to really understand it is to get an understanding of man's history of understanding of what kingdom means, because there is a difference and it's significant. In the same way that God is triune in nature, he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we have three parts to who we are. We're spirit, soul, and body. There's three expressions for the kingdom of God. Now that sounds far more spiritual and far deeper than it really is, okay? But I want you to see that there's three different important viewpoints or perspectives on the kingdom. Because if we understand what they saw the kingdom to be, if we understand what the kingdom is in finality, and if we understand the kingdom and the role of the kingdom in our lives today, it's three different expressions, but we need to understand all three. So let's start with first the Jewish perspective. In the Old Testament, the Jews of old, they didn't view the kingdom of God from a spiritual perspective at all. They viewed it only from a natural. They thought they were looking for a Messiah to come who would be a king, but he would be an earthly, temporal king. He would be a king much like David was. They were looking for a Messiah to come and to restore the throne of David, and also, in so doing, restore the glory of Israel. When the Jews of the Old Testament, when they were looked at the Messiah's reign, they were looking at Messiah coming and exercising his power against all the enemies of Israel. They were looking and expecting for him to use his power. They were looking at just from a natural, carnal, temporal. They were looking for Messiah to come, and in his reign, he would reward his faithful servants, and he'd reward them here in this natural, in natural ways. And he'd reward them based upon the level of their faithfulness of servants. So that's how the Jews, that was the Jewish perspective on what the kingdom was. Now, when you see that's the perspective, it really helps us understand the disciples. And when you read the disciples, and how many times do we read in the Bible the disciples, and they're arguing over who's going to be seated where with Jesus. They're arguing about where you're going to be seated when Jesus' kingdom comes. Because the disciples, as being taught by the Jews, also viewed the kingdom of Jesus Christ to be a kingdom that was a kingdom of this world. So that's the Jewish perspective of the Messiah, of the kingdom. That's their perspective of kingdom. Now, let's look at the second perspective. And this is the ultimate final truth perspective. This is the eternal perspective of the kingdom of God. As the Jews were looking at the kingdom of God, and they saw the kingdom of God only in a natural sense. They didn't see the greater spiritual truth. But along comes the prophet Daniel. And Daniel shows them a different perspective. Because Daniel sees the final expression of the kingdom of God. He sees the ultimate truth in a vision. He sees the ultimate truth. He sees the eternal, forever perspective of the kingdom of God. And here's what it says. This is from Daniel, chapter 7, verse number 13. When you're looking for Daniel, Psalms is right in the middle. You go past Psalms and you get Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. Then you get into the major prophets. He's the very last of the major prophets. So it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Boom, there's Daniel. So look at Daniel chapter 7. And when we look at Daniel chapter 7, keep your finger there because we're going to come back. We're going to read two verses though. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. So again, remember the Jews' perspective was only a natural. Now Daniel, who's a Jew, but God gives him a view of the eternal kingdom. And this is what he says. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. He's seeing Jesus. He's seeing the eternal kingdom. One like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given the dominion, the glory, and the kingdom. And all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. In his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. This is the eternal perspective of the kingdom of God. So what Daniel is seeing in this vision, Daniel's seeing the vision of the future. It's the kingdom that always is. But he's seeing here a vision of the future, a vision beyond where we are today. Daniel is seeing the eternal kingdom of God. He's seeing the eternal truth of God. The eternal reality. He's seeing the spiritual truth. He's seeing what is very difficult for us with our natural minds to totally comprehend. But he's seeing that which is ours after we leave this world. So that's the eternal perspective. You all with me? All right. Here's the final one. Here's the third perspective. And the best way to get an understanding of this is to hear Jesus' words on that. We have the Jewish perspective. Then we have the eternal, we understand the eternal kingdom through what Daniel saw. Now listen to this. This is Luke chapter 17, verse 21. And this is from the Amplified Bible. Luke 17, 21. Nor will people say, look, speaking about the kingdom. Look, here it is, or see, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and amongst you, and surrounding you. The kingdom of God is within us. So we have the Jewish perspective, the natural. We have the eternal, which is always, that's always true. But the reality that we need to understand is the kingdom of God is within us. You and I are the children of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Matthew says. That's a beautiful perspective. Matthew in Matthew 13, 38 says that you and I are the children of the kingdom of heaven. We are the ones that bring the power of the eternal kingdom, the spiritual realm, into this natural realm. We're the ones that do that. How do we do that? How does that happen? It's the power of God working through us. So again, we are the ones that bring the power of that eternal kingdom, the spiritual realm. We bring the spiritual realm power here into the natural realm through the power of God that works through us. Now, I didn't put it up here because I don't want you to see it up here. I want you guys to find this. I've told you this verse before, but I've told you this is one of my favorite verses, and we'll come back to it again and again. Look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, because I want you to see it in your Bible. I want you to see where it's at. Ephesians, chapter 3. So after the Gospels, you get Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then Galatians, boom, right there is Ephesians. So Ephesians 3:20. Everybody have that? I'm going to read it to you. I love this verse. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask. I can think about a lot. I can ask an awful lot in my life. I can ask for an awful lot of things. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works through us. It's the power of God, but the power of God works through us. It's the kingdom of God, but it's the kingdom of God. It works through us. We've got a part to play in it. We've got a role that we have to play in it. The kingdom of God, as Jesus said in Luke, the kingdom of God is within us. We have to understand the power and understand that we have a part to play in it. That's why Jesus is telling us to pray this way. He's saying, pray, your kingdom come. It's up to us to pray the power of the eternal kingdom, to pray the power of the spiritual realm here into our natural lives. We pray the dominion. We pray the power of the dominion of God into this world by our words of faith that line up with his word. So think about that. We pray, we bring the power of the dominion into this world by our words of faith that line up with his word. I need to know what his word is. I need to know what his word says. I need to be speaking his word in faith. This is what's expected of us. This is the way that it's supposed to be working for us. We bring that dominion. The power is within us. It is knowing his word. It's the knowledge of his word in us. It's our word lined up with his word, and his word is his will. I already defined that. The word of God is his will. But we are the vehicles that God uses to bring his kingdom. His kingdom power. You are the vehicle he uses to bring his eternal kingdom power from the spiritual realm, his will, into this world. Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come. This is what we should be praying. Now, I told you to kind of keep your hand in Daniel. We were looking in Daniel chapter 7. We looked at verses 13 and 14. I want to go down a few more verses because Daniel showed us the vision of the eternal kingdom. He took the understanding that they had of the kingdom of God being something that was a natural reality, and he showed us that it was a spiritual, eternal reality. But here's the great thing. He saw more than that. This is what he saw. He saw you, and he saw me as kingdom of God men and women. Look at what he said. This is verse 27. Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatest of the kingdom under the whole heavens shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. What an amazingly awesome verse that is. That is exciting. Jesus, Daniel here is talking about end times. But the reality is, Jesus has already established the kingdom of God. He's established it through you and I. This is what's taking place in us. Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come. This is why Jesus is teaching us to pray, your kingdom come. Because we've got a role to play. Guess what? His kingdom has come. It's already come through us. And we'll see that more vividly in just a couple of moments. But Let me just give you a little bit of a summary. Is anybody else hot? Come stand up here under the lights. Sit up here, Bob. We have the authority in Jesus' name. We have the authority in Jesus' name to speak His word. We have the authority of Jesus' name to speak the eternal truths of the eternal kingdom into this natural life that we live. We have the authority in Jesus' name to speak all of His promises into your life, and you have the authority to speak it into the lives of those around you as well. This is the authority we have in Jesus. Now the Jews, again, remember, they only stood it from a natural perspective. They couldn't see the kingdom of God from a spiritual perspective, only from a natural. Then we have Daniel. Daniel gives them that vision, that understanding. He shows them to look for the eternal kingdom and what that means. But then we have Jesus who comes to earth. Jesus comes to earth and He stands before His disciples and He says to His disciples, pray this way, pray your kingdom come. When Jesus came to this earth, when Jesus appeared, the kingdom of God that had been hidden from the eyes of men since the fall in the garden, the kingdom of God that had been hidden is now, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is saying, I'm here. The kingdom of God is at hand. That which was invisible, the kingdom is now visible. It's visible in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray the way He did. He's teaching them to pray this way because of what He's going to do. He's going to die, He's going to rise again, and He's going to ascend, completing all of His work. But then there's more. After He does all that, and the disciples didn't see this, the disciples couldn't understand this, but there's more. There's then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit comes and falls, the Spirit of God Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, now dwells within you and I. That's powerful. It's the power of God working through us. So by the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in every single one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and believe that, the Holy Spirit dwells in every single one of us. And so all of His gifts, all of the power of the kingdom, the eternal kingdom, all of that now is at work through you and I. This is the power that we have. This is why Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come. We are praying the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Through the work of Jesus Christ and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is here and is at hand. But you and I still have the responsibility. We still need to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. We still need to do that because the power that's in us, the kingdom power that's in us, works through our words, speaking His word. When we speak His word of God, it ushers in faith. When we speak His word of God, when we speak words of faith, it ushers that spiritual realm, that kingdom of God, from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. I know a lot of people that get frustrated because, you know, we pray for things and we don't see them taking place and we wonder what's going on. Well, there's sometimes a time, everything's done. You don't have to ask Jesus for anything. He's already done it. It's not like all of a sudden you have a need today and Jesus says, oh, I didn't see that one coming. I'll get right on that. No, He saw all of your needs. In fact, He took care of all your needs 2,000 years ago. There's absolutely nothing that you will face in your life that comes as a surprise to Jesus. And He met all those needs. Everything that you need is done right now in the spiritual realm, in the eternal kingdom, in the kingdom of God. It's already done, established, and finished. It's just up to us to bring it from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. How do we do that? The quickest and the easiest way to bring the realities of the spiritual realm into this natural realm is by the words that we say. When we speak words that line up with His word, we're bringing those realities, they're real. You may not see them, but they're more real than what you experience here in this natural life. We bring those things from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. This is what the expectation is for each one of us. The kingdom of God is at hand. And you know what? the kingdom of God is still being ushered into this world day by day. The kingdom of God is advancing day by day through us, right until the time that Jesus comes again, or until we leave. Jesus said, I'm teaching you to pray. Pray, your kingdom come. We're supposed to be praying in the power and the authority of the kingdom. So then the question is, how do I develop that kingdom power within me so that I can pray more powerfully? How do I develop that? Well, let's look at the book of 2 Peter. This is funny because Caleb and I had a meal a couple days ago. And Caleb was sharing with me some of the things that the Holy Spirit was showing him. And he was all excited because he was showing me 2 Peter. And I said, Caleb, that is so awesome. We're talking about 2 Peter today. We're going to be showing, we're going to be looking at that. So 2 Peter, we're not going to read the whole thing. But we're going to start at verse number 3. This is from the Amplified Bible. I love it when the Holy Spirit just is working together in things. I love it when, you know, you're talking to somebody and the Holy Spirit is dealing with them in the same things and showing them the same things that he's showing you. It's exciting how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things. His divine power, his kingdom has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Everything in your life, everything you need is already done, already taken care of. It's bestowed upon you. How? Through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. The power of the eternal kingdom. The divine power of Jesus himself to meet every need that you would have in your life is already bestowed upon you. It's already bestowed upon you. It's already bestowed. Where does it say that? Bestowed. It's already bestowed upon you. How? It's through the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. Now go back down one more verse. Verse number 4. By means of these, he has bestowed upon us his precious and exceedingly great promises. You know the promises that Jesus has? They are great promises for you. That's the level of expectation that we should have. By means of these, he's bestowed upon us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, those promises, you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness, and the corruption that is of this world because of the covetousness, the lust, the greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. All of the promises of Jesus Christ, all of these promises, these great, exceedingly great promises, are yours. Because you partake in the divine nature and you partake in the divine power of Jesus Christ. You partake in it because the Holy Spirit is operating in and through you. You partake of all of those things. This is why when we pray, we can pray with authority. It's because the power is in us, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God within us. This is who we are. This is what Jesus is teaching us. All right, drop down a number of verses to verse number 8. Again, this is still from the Amplified Bible. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The divine power, the divine nature, it is already at work within you. The divine power, the power of the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit, it's working through you and it abounds in you. It increases and abounds in you. How? It's by the full personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the more that I know and know, the word know, when it talks about knowledge or knowing, it's not just talking about an awareness. This is talking about something that is intimate. It's knowing like a husband and a wife know each other. Donna knows me like no other human being on the face of the earth, and I know her. This is an intimate knowing. So the more that we have that personal knowing, that personal relationship, that intimacy in relationship, the more that we have that, the more the power of this kingdom, the more the power of the Holy Spirit just works through me naturally. So how do I get to know Jesus better? How do I get to know him that way? Two things. One, the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus revealing himself to you. The more time that you spend in the Word of God, the more you are perceiving and picking up who Jesus is. Because this is His way of, in this natural world, revealing Himself to you and I. The second way is through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus in ways that you would never otherwise have understood. He shows you Jesus with understanding that the natural mind cannot. That's why it's so important for us to lean upon the Holy Spirit and to be listening to the Holy Spirit and seeking more every day of that Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit through us. This is how we come to know Him. So here's what Jesus is teaching us. Here's what He's saying to us in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is saying that we have to pray. We have to pray the kingdom of God to be manifested, to be made reality here in this earth. We pray that the kingdom of God is made manifest. All the promises, all of the strength, all of the victories. We pray that those things are made manifest here in this earth. We are supposed to pray God's will to be done. You know what? God's will is done in heaven. It's already done and finished in heaven. But that's what we need to be praying. We need to be praying that His will, His word, comes to pass. You know, in heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no poverty. In heaven, there's no sin. There's no anger. There's no abuse. There's no depression. There's no addiction. There's none of those things in heaven. That's God's will. And it's done in heaven. This is what we should be enforcing with our words of prayer. We need to enforce those things. When you see someone else in your life, when you see someone that's struggling, you need to boldly step up. I need to boldly step up. And if I see something, I need to pray. I need to look that person in the eye so they can see in my eyes that I believe what I'm saying. And I pray the things of the Word of God into them so that they can see it, receive it, and be strengthened by it. I pray those things from the spiritual realm into the natural realm for them. Because this is the will of God. None of those things that I just mentioned are God's will. It's up to you and I to enforce those things. And when the enemy tells you that sickness is coming, you enforce the will of God. God's will is that you're healed. When the enemy tells you, you open up your bank account and it looks like they're going to start repossessing things, you enforce the will of God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You enforce the will of God by speaking His word. By speaking His word and making it manifest here in this world, in this kingdom. Depression, anger, whatever it is. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, if it's in opposition to His word, then you speak His word. Because here's what we do. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is within us. So I speak the kingdom of God. And here's what I'm doing. When I speak the kingdom of God, now listen to this. Picture it this way. You are displacing all of those physical, natural realities. They're real. You go to the doctor and the doctor tells you that you've got a sickness. I'm not saying it's not real. It's real. It's a reality in the natural world, in the natural realm. But we've got the kingdom of God within us. So we displace those natural realities with the spiritual truths, with the spiritual realities. As you speak and say the word of God, as you allow the kingdom of God that is within us to be coming from the spiritual realm into this natural realm, you're displacing the physical realities with the spiritual realities. That's how we experience those changes. And it's not just for us. We do it for those around us as well, and for those whose lives that we see and that we care about. All right, let's go back to 2 Peter one more time. I didn't tell you to keep your finger there. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to go all the way down to verse number 11. Whew, I'm making myself happy. Hope you guys are getting this too. This is what it says, 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance will be supplied. Now, remember everything we just read from 1 Peter. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An everlasting entrance into the everlasting kingdom of God is being made for you. Now look, I understand that this is in part talking about eternity with Jesus Christ. But here's a key point to always remember. when you're reading the Word of God, you read it in context. So is this talking about eternity with Jesus? Yes, it is. But if you read this in context, because you go back, look at the verses we read, 3, 4, 8, you go back and you read all those verses, you read it in context, there's a greater truth that he's talking about here. He's talking about more than just eternity with Jesus Christ. He's saying the entrance into the kingdom, he's not talking about down the road when we leave this life. You read it in context, he's saying here, he's saying now. This is our reality for today. This is the promises that we have. The entrance to the kingdom of God is open for us. The door is open. The kingdom of God is at hand. The eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's working through us. It is in you. And the power of the Holy Spirit works in and through us. This is the way that it works. We need to advance the kingdom of God. Every day in our lives, we need to be advancing the kingdom of God. And that means praying in that same kind of fearless prayer that Jesus had, that same boldness and confidence that Jesus had. Let me look at one more verse for you. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse number 6. We can all find Revelation. It's like Genesis, Revelation, and Psalms. We can all find those three. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. This is who you are. You are a king and you are a priest. You carry with you the authority that a king carries. And the priests are the ones who bring the offering, who make the sacrifice. The kings are the ones who stand in the gap for all this. You're a king. You've got the power of the eternal kingdom of God at work in and through you. This is for your benefit. You've got the authority. And it's also so that we can bring the power of God, the eternal kingdom, into the lives of others, into the lives of those that we're seeing. We need to be praying. When you see people this week that have needs, don't just look the other way. I'll pray for them later. And don't just say to them, I'm telling you, don't just say to them, I'm going to pray for you. Now you pray for them now. When you see them, pray for them. You are a king and a priest. Act like a priest. You've got that eternal power and kingdom and authority in you. They do too, but you know what? Most people don't realize it. This is our responsibility. It's who we're supposed to be. It's the power of God working through us. So think about your prayers. When you pray, are you praying the Word of God? Are you praying His will, which means I know the Word of God? Am I praying and just asking God to do something for me? Or am I praying with the knowledge that He's already done everything for me? I need to be praying with the knowledge that it's not only already done, but that His kingdom is within me. We need to understand that. We need to be praying as Jesus said. This is what he taught us. He said, pray, your kingdom come. So our prayer needs to be praying his kingdom, praying the spiritual realities into this natural realm. We need to be praying to displace the physical realities with the ultimate truth, the ultimate spiritual realities, which are the realities we see in Jesus Christ and in his word. Amen? Is that exciting for you? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. So Jesus has taught us so far. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to look at the next verse, verse 11.